Our scripture this morning is right after the great love poem. So Paul is basically commenting on the great love poem. For now we see in a mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide in these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There were two completely separate times in my life where I knew, intellectually, I knew that the love of God was with me, that the love of God was surrounding me. It was the only way I survived those two times. But at the same time, it seemed like faith and hope were competing with love. They were competing to get me there so that I could follow the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. In order to tell this part of Christ's story in our story, my story and Kim's story, I need to remind you of Moses in Exodus 3 and 4. You know Exodus. Moses is out tending his sheep. He sees a burning bush that isn't being consumed by fire. And he investigates and steps onto holy ground. The Lord God then speaks to him out of the burning bush, reveals God's very self, God's very nature, God's very name, and commissions Moses. Moses, you are to go and set my people free. And you can do this because I am with you. God has revealed himself as the great I am. I am with you wherever, however, whenever. I am God with you. You can do this. Go to my people and set them free. The God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph is with you. You can do this. And Moses reacts exactly how I would react. I have reacted over the years. I don't think so. I don't think I can do this. Why would they believe me? They might think I'm nuts. God talked to me. That's nuts. And I'm the guy who ran away from Egypt accused of murder. If I go back and say, God has destined me to be the greatest people in the history of God's people. Don't know. Suppose they do not listen or believe me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you. And the Lord told him, what is in your hand? This is chapter 4 of Exodus. What is in your hand? And he said, my shepherd's staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it down. And it became a snake. And Moses drew back. And the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. Yeah. You know, I don't see Charlton Heston here going, yeah. I see me going, whoa. And Moses finally does. And as he seized it, as he reached out his hand and grasped it, it became a staff in his hand. And the Lord God said, so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. At the beginning of the summer of 1990, I had 100 days left in my commitment to the Air Force, and I was just about to enter my fifth year of seminary before ordination. The Roman Catholic priest, who is the chaplain captain at Randolph Air Force Base, had me transferred there because he told me the chapel, quote, needed your expertise in training of communion ministers. He greeted me at the airport, the priest captain, by telling me he was immediately going on a month's leave, and I was his replacement, doing everything a non-Roman Catholic could do that who wasn't ordained. Then the next morning at work, he handed me a stack and said, there's your paperwork. Here's my paperwork for you to do the next month. Now, I went directly to the Presbyterian major and lied through my teeth. I shook the sheaf of papers at him and said, Captain Ziegler, or Major Ziegler, Chaplain Ziegler, I don't know how to do this. And Herb reacted exactly as I would hope. He got angry. He said, forget the paperwork. You're with me for the next month. And my lieutenant, Lieutenant Kim Ruth, you're with us for the next month. I said, that's okay. Yeah, I could do that. Kim was really good looking. And she had just finished her first year in seminary. So I could like mentor her and, you know, and all that stuff. Kim and I worked and served together at Randolph that whole summer of 1990. For weeks, we worked side by side, and only toward the end, when we allowed ourselves to, it became apparent that we were more than fellow officers, more than cohorts in the chapel. For the first time in what is destined to be the only time in my life, I found my true love, and my soulmate. But I was this close. After 5 hard years, struggling years, this close to being ordained a celibate Roman Catholic priest. That's why I was glad we started a Holy Moly today. I didn't have to explain what that meant. I wouldn't and couldn't give that up. I was overwhelmed. I know I was called to ordained ministry, but as a Roman Catholic from my birth, that was the only road that I saw. On my last full day at Randolph and in the Air Force, it was a Friday, and Kim and I finally admitted to ourselves and each other that we were in love. And by Sunday, I was on a silent personal retreat at a Franciscan monastery in Ohio. I was already gaining weight and growing facial hair. And my commitment to the Air Force was over. What I had done in the Air Force stayed in the Air Force. That Sunday back in Texas at Randolph, Kim preached Exodus 4. And she asked, what was God asking Moses to throw down? And what is God asking you to throw down and trust in God? As Kim told the worshipers that day, God asked Moses to throw down his shepherd's staff. And that was his very identity. It had the grooves from his finger marks. It was just the right height and weight for Moses. Moses was a shepherd. He needed that staff to ward off wild animals, to ward off people trying to steal his sheep. He needed that shepherd's staff to sometimes gently guide the sheep and sometimes to guide the sheep. Throw it down. Throw it down, the Lord God says. Trust in me. Throw down what you think is your very identity. Throw down what you think you can't live without. Throw down what you think is your protection. Throw down your plans. Trust in God alone. She finished that sermon by asking those present, what is God asking you to throw down and trust and give over to God in great trust? Now, I know she preached that sermon because the folks at Randolph sent it to me on a cassette tape, to the monastery. And I was just able to summarize that sermon after 28 years because that week I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. I savored the sound of her voice. I was amazed at her preaching. It was a difficult and confusing place. I knew, no, call to ordained ministry, absolutely. And I knew, no, that I loved her deeply, and God gave us to each other. Know it. And I was thinking and praying that hard that we would certainly never, ever minister again together. Never. And I probably would never even see her again. I was listening to that sermon constantly and constantly asking myself, God, why did you give me her just so I could throw her down? I'll fast forward. We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. Yay! Back in the summer of 90, though, I truly believed that it was done, that God asked us to throw each other down, to throw down my soulmate, my desire, my once-in-a-lifetime love, my partner. We broke off our relationship, and I was indeed ordained a Roman Catholic celibate priest. I still can't believe I did it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I wailed like a wounded animal when I threw her down. I've since lost both my parents. I've laid in a hospital bed thinking I just might not ever get out of this bed. But that was nothing compared to the anguish and pain I felt when I threw Kim down. It still grieves me. It still boils up inside me. When Moses threw down his staff, it changed into something dangerous. It changed into something scary. It had the potential to strike him dead. For just a second, as he shrunk back, he had to be thinking, I might not ever survive this encounter on holy ground. Then the Lord God ordered him to take this frightening, deadly thing and grasp it. And it was immediately transformed by the power of God into that which Moses needed to fulfill God's will. When Kim and I threw each other down, I wasn't sure I was going to survive it. Honestly, I wasn't sure. It is enough to say we went through a lot. And the simple picking up what the Lord God had called us to lay down seemed insurmountable. Finally, after almost 3 years to the day, Kim originally preached that Moses throw down your staff sermon, we were married. And it took us another 11 years to officially minister together. We were called in 2004 as co-pastors. Doug, I know what you feel like, 60 years on telescoping into 20 minutes. We were called in 2004 as co-pastors to the Montezuma Valley Presbyterian Church in Cortez, Colorado. It was one position, one pastor position, but two people in that one position. It gave us more time to be with our sons and to do other things. And Kim and I never broke down that co-pastor thing into 50-50. It wasn't like she preaches and administrates, I do youth and mission. No. It was we jumped into whatever needed done. And a lot of times we were doing it together just because we enjoyed doing it together. Sometimes, especially when we were homeschooling Chuck in middle school, Kim was 65% and I was about 35%. And it all went really great until 2010. And then we realized that our boys could not thrive in Cortez any longer. And the Lord God asked Kim and I to throw down again the unthinkable, to throw down our personal identities as one married, one ministering couple in our life together. In 2010, Kim and the boys physically moved here to Colorado Springs, and they moved in with Kim's mom up at Chapel Hills and somewhere about 3 miles north of here. And the boys thrived at Discovery Canyon. Meanwhile, Kim and I still felt called to be pastors of the church in Cortez, and they felt called to keep us as co-pastors. We remained co-pastors for 6 years. Obviously, we weren't splitting the duties 50-50 anymore. It got to be more like 90-10 as we went all in archery, and weekends and vacations went away. And we kept that life for 6 years. When we were married, Kim and I never, ever imagined that the Lord God would say to us, you'll spend one-third of your married life apart. Two different households. God asked us to throw down our life together, our comfort in ministering together. And it was hard. It was frightening. It was frustrating. And it was scary. Yet the Lord God blessed it and made it new, and our boys thrived. 7 years later, we threw down our plans. After we threw down our plans for a normal life, whatever that is, with a stop in North Platte, Nebraska, we're together again. Yay. We've picked up that staff again. Thanks be to God. He asks us to throw it down. Then the Lord touches what he asks us to throw down and blesses it and changes and transforms it. For, as Apostle Paul says, for the common good, for the body of Christ. In our lives, transformation happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it's as scary as a serpent facing us. In most of our times, that transformation, God doesn't ask us just once to throw things down, but time and time again. It has been much harder than I could ever imagine to throw away that which is dear to me. More than once. How hard we hold tight to that which is important. We hold tight to what's important to us. We have to. Sometimes, more often than we want, the Lord says, throw it down. Back in 1990, the Lord God had me throw down the one thing, the one person I wanted to hold on to more than life itself. I think I did it not because I was so called, but because of my worries, my frustrations, my stubbornness, my guilt. But the Lord transformed me in that. The Lord transformed Kim in that. Then decades later, we're throwing down our peace, our daily touching of my children and my wife, our living in the security of instant support from the three people I love best. Let them go and live 365.5 miles away, but in two mountain passes, but who was counting? They thrived. The church we ministered thrived. And we were fed by the church, by the community, by the school, by a grandma who could feed us and love us. It's never easy to throw down our past. It's never easy to throw away my plans, which have seemed to work until now. Yet sometimes God says, throw it away. Throw it away. I can transform your plans into my plans. And it's going to be scary for a time. It's always scary. Something new is always scary. But you will receive more than you could ever ask or imagine. It's one of my favorite scripture verses. You will receive more than you could ever ask or imagine. And I still see in a mirror dimly. It's still blurry. It's still hard to see the faith, hope, and love. And grasp these, because I'd rather hold on to my plans. I'd rather hold on to my stuff than to let them go and throw them down so they can be transformed into God's plan. I know that these experiences of letting go of that which is dear to me made me who I am today. Bible language, we have been transformed. Just writing those words yesterday, when the sermon finally said, okay, this is what it's going to be, it gave me shivers to realize that the Lord God has transformed us in ways we could never have asked or imagined. And if the here's the infomercial part. If the Lord can transform me, who's the most stubborn, the most grasping, the most grouchy, the most fearful of people, if the Lord can transform me, just think what the Lord is ready to do for our church and for you. What are you holding on to today? What are you holding on to, and what do you need to throw down in order to be transformed by the Lord God? Amen.